Dan Celian.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celian.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533. It's great to be here. 844-707-5533. Hey, a lot of people listen to the program on CSN, Christian Satellite Network, great network. We re-air there in the evening. And I heard a rumor they may try to free up a live time. So if you're listening to the podcast and you, because I know so many of you are, or on the website and like to hear the program live, you need to send them a little note if they're the station you listen to and let them know that. And hopefully they'll clear that. But from what I understand, they're clearing it. I did say at our retreat, I'll say it again, I didn't realize this, but you know, I talk about, well, we're on 500 stations, 550. I found out in the retreat, I found out by looking at a station log that I never look at. It gets done every month and it is sent to Pat, and Pat, you know, make sure the website's update. And we're in 650 markets. I always say 500, I don't know, 540. I had no idea. And it also doesn't include, and I can't believe how many markets now Biz Television is in. And holy mackerel, we cover almost the whole country in television. They're growing like crazy. And I've been on with them so long since they first got started. And you'll see all their affiliate stations. It's amazing. You know, out of all their programming, our program is the only program that is all their affiliates carry. So if you look at their program list, yes, they may not be carrying all of their program, but they're carrying, their affiliates are carrying, they are carrying our program. So that's very exciting. So I hope that you'll take a look at those, that. And I just wanted to let you know that, to just give you an idea of the work that God is doing. I mean, we've been blessed with so many great, like American Family Association, maybe one of the greatest Christian conservative talk radio networks in the country. Just my opinion, but whatever, I think it is. And then so many others, you know, and we just finished up our 23rd year on the radio, 23rd year. So we're coming up, boy, are we planning a big 25th celebration? We're not really, we have no plans whatsoever, but, we should be, I guess, but haven't given it any thought. You have some ideas, you can email to us. Anyway, 844-707-5533. I sure hope that you will consider your partnership. So oil rigs going up, and I wanted to get a good look at commodities as oil continues to roll up. And I did want to talk a little bit. By the way, here's something I've never said before. Gold's over 1,300. So I'm just kidding, in case you're just tuning in. I've been saying it for 10 years. Gold's over 1,300 because it goes over 1,300, goes back down, goes over 1,300, goes literally since 2008. That's what's been happening. And about every couple of months, I say, well, maybe gold's going to hit 1,300. Anyway, just went over. It's just over 1,300. Oil's at 83. Oh, I'm sorry. Wow, that would be scary. 63.87. So oil now over $63 a barrel. And I was getting a little nervous there. But, you know, it's a good thing that we are adding on, we've added on new rigs. That's a very good thing, because that gives us a little bit more stability in the price of oil. Now, we're still going up. We'll see what inventory numbers look like from a national average perspective. National average of gasoline, $2.74 a gallon. So that's up from $2.73 a gallon yesterday, and a week ago it was $2.69. So last Monday we were at $2.69, we're $2.74. That's a pretty significant increase, and I sure hope it slows down, like real soon, real soon. It really just we'll see, but we'll have to wait and see what inventories do. But you know, so we've got a good thing and a bad thing. When I talked about China now importing crude oil from America again. They had stopped back in June. Don't hold me to June, but it was about 6 months, about halfway through the year last year, they stopped. You know, this was all the tariffs and all that stuff, and they stopped importing U.S. crude oil. Well, it really didn't hurt U.S. crude oil much. We were doing fine. We didn't need it. Well, now they're up to about 300,000 barrels a day, increasing about we are now exporting about 300,000 barrels a day to China, and that will likely pick up as their economy picks up. So that's good news, but we did add 19 rigs. Hopefully, we can boost inventories up, and that's what we need to do. We did see a rise in inventories last look, if I'm not mistaken. So we will take a look and see what the EIA number is on Wednesday, and we'll see if we can raise inventories up. That would be a really good thing. Now that we're getting into refining summer crude supplies, gasoline supplies, hopefully we'll start to see that. We have our ag report coming up right now. Craig Haugert, our ag reporter, and boy, commodities have been all over the place. Very important time for our ag commodities, also getting a little bump from China. Here's Craig with our ag report. We'll be right back.
This is Craig Haugert with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, corn finished lower on Friday. Tomorrow's USDA report is expected to show an increase in ending stocks, and they're already quite large to start with, and that pressured the market on Friday. Now, the downside continues to be somewhat limited as concerns about planting delays are surfacing in the Corn Belt due to wet weather coming in the next few weeks. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading unchanged. Soybeans finished the week lower as more word of barriers in the trade talks between U.S. and China showed up. It appears that there still continues to be some pretty significant issues between the two nations regarding the trade deal, and that is weighing on soybean prices. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures have seemed to slough those concerns off a little bit and are trading up 3 cents as I record this. The wheat market had a tough finish to the week, with most contracts finishing lower. Minneapolis wheat again set fresh contract lows, with the May contract falling 32 cents during the course of last week. Chicago and Kansas City wheat were lower as well on some profit-taking. There was very little export news, but I see that the Philippines bought a chunk of wheat that came out of the Black Sea region, as here in the United States we missed that business. In the overnight trade, Chicago is 2.5 cents lower, while Kansas City is down 3, and Minneapolis is trading a half cent lower. Cotton futures kept their recent winning streak alive as the May futures finished the session up 93 points. They settled at $78.25, which I believe was significant since the $78 barrier had posed very solid resistance. I wouldn't be surprised to see them move up higher now that they've taken out that level of resistance. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading unchanged. Livestock futures were kind of a mixed bag on Friday, with the June live cattle futures down $1.22.5 to settle at $120.35. May feeder cattle were up 15 cents as they settled out at $150.22. And the May lean hog futures were up 17.5 cents to settle at $91 per hundredweight. Class 3 milk futures bottomed out back on February 19th. Now on that day, the May futures hit a low of $14.70, and since then have mounted a very solid rally. On Friday, prices got up to $15.81 before backing off slightly to finish up 5 points for the day, closing at $15.76. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading a point higher. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 19 cents higher at $226.93, while selects were up $1.92 as they settled at $220.28. In hogs, pork carcass values closed 38 cents lower for the day, settling out at $81.84. Well, this has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
We'll be right back. The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
On Facebook, let me just mention something to Paul. Paul, I hope you're listening. You asked me about CS-29 that was added to the buy list this morning. That's been fixed. I want to thank you for pointing that out to me because I don't know how it got. I don't know what happened. I have no idea what happened. But anyway, it's the information you need is there. It's a mid-cap growth fund, not growth in income. Now, you know, I usually like to see a consistent income of at least, you know, 2% and feel real good about their chance of paying a dividend. They do pay some income. I think it's about 1.6 or 1.5. Not enough stability there, not in the company or in the stock, but in their desires, I guess, to pay dividends on a very regular basis or increase that. So just throw that out there to Scott that had a question. He put that up on Facebook. Scott asked me any suggestions on someone that finds themselves holding a particular stock that I asked for a sell list. No, I don't. Scott, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, that's a stock that I put on my sell list. Not only when I put it on my sell list, it was kind of a unique situation. I haven't done that often, but I put a buy on it. So I said, sell it, put all the money that you have left in that into this particular stock. That stock has been doing very well since then. So a lot of people picked up, you know, what they had lost, and it was in the same sector. So it ended up being a good thing. But that was, boy, that had to be 6-8 months ago, maybe longer, getting close on a year now. CS-25 is the number on that. It's getting close to a year, maybe, when I did that. At this point, I don't know what to tell you, Scott. You just, you know, maybe you're not a partner. You find yourself owning the stock. I'm assuming you're not a partner, So you didn't, obviously you didn't get the email to make that change. So, look, are they going to go bankrupt? Is that a possibility? Could be. But it's down so low right now, unless you have a whole lot of shares, you know, it might be worth just hanging in there and hopefully it'll make a turnaround. Believe it or not, financially, it's a pretty solid company still. And it's a fairly solid company. So it's down so low right now. If it goes bankrupt and you lose, I don't know what it is, $2, $2.50, might not be the end of the world for you if you lose it. But if it would be, then I would definitely sell it. But I'd hang in there at this point, I guess. All right, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up. Let me go to Barbara. Barbara's calling us from Missouri. Hey, Barbara.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay, well, I just inherited some money, and uh-huh. I'm confused. I don't know exactly where to go with it. I had this annuity death benefit claim, and it's like about $75,000. And they sent me the paperwork to fill out, and it's telling me how I want to accept this in a check, income payment option, deferred 5 years, or extended annuity. And I'm not sure where to go with this because I really don't have to have this money.
Are you retired, Barbara?
No, I'm not retired. I'm still working.
Okay.
And I'm also getting Social Security.
Okay. I would just take it by check. I would not, you can ask them what the tax liability to you is. I doubt that there is any or much. But I would ask that, but I definitely wouldn't put it in another annuity. I wouldn't do anything else with it. You don't need the income benefit, so you shouldn't take it. When you do need some more income, if you want to use the $75,000 and put it in a charitable gift annuity or something like that to generate income, that would be a very good thing. But I wouldn't do it now. You're still working. You're doing fine. I wouldn't be concerned about that, because the longer you wait, the more you're going to get, and that's a good thing. So I would just take it by way of check. I would put it in a, you know, you could put it in a two-year CD, get 4%. If you are, you know, I've talked about this yesterday, that Christian Community Credit Union has a 4% CD for 18 months, and it would cover a portion of that, not a lot of it, but they've raised it up to $10,000 for that 4% for 18 months. So that would be a good thing. They have a 2% on a money market account that you can put your money in and out of. So that's Christian Community Credit Union. That's on my website if you want to do that. But you might want to do that, wait until such a time that you think you're going to need a little bit of income to supplement your income. Then I would make a move to do something more positive to create income.
Okay, so just go ahead and take the check in a lump check.
Yes.
And then reinvest it.
Yep, reinvest it into a CD or something that's fairly safe.
Okay, and I have to ask you another question. I inherited an IRA, and it's about the same kind of funds. And they're telling me that I have to take it.
In that case, you don't have to take it out. You don't want to do that. You don't want to pay tax on all that money. You don't have to take it out, but you need to roll it into an inherited IRA. So it's got to be separate from any other IRA you have, and it's going to be in an inherited IRA. And then all the rules apply just like an IRA. The difference is you're not taking minimum required distributions. But you may have to take minimum required distributions from this if that person that you inherited it from was over 70.
Yes, he was. He was 74.
So then you have to still take the minimum required distribution every year. So don't forget that. Make sure you do it. But you don't want to take it as a lump sum, as a check, because you have to pay tax on all of it. So don't do that. Or if you do, roll it over quickly into a inherited IRA. And you can do that anywhere you might have current accounts at a bank or whatever. You can open up an inherited IRA and roll that over to it.
Okay, because I don't have any kind of accounts. It's the first time I've ever had any money.
Okay. Well, yeah, you want to roll that over. And is that coming from the same company?
Yes. It was like a bank. He had it invested at a wealth management bank, and he had both of them rolled in together. He had Southwestern Life, and then he had this inherited IRA, and they were rolled in together.
Okay.
At a bank.
Okay.
But they're separate policies, and I have to get rid of those separately.
Yeah, so you could go to your bank or wherever you do your banking, and you could open up an inherited IRA and make sure you put that one pot of money that's the inherited, and you have it, and you roll it over into that bank inherited IRA.
Okay, because she sent me this paperwork to fill out and send back to her.
And what is that going to do? Keep it there in an inherited IRA?
Well, it doesn't say that. It says on here, she just wants my beneficiary information, and they were going to write me out a check.
No, you don't want to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Don't do that, because you have to pay tax on all that money. So,
okay, so I have to ask her what I need to do to roll it over.
Right. And if they have to give you a check as a beneficiary, then I would deposit that check in your new inherited IRA account that you open up.
Okay, got it.
And you only have 60 days to do it, so don't let it go. 60 right. days to do it after you receive the check.
After I receive the check. Okay, yeah. I got it.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Barbara. I'm glad you called.
Great. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Sure. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. If you have a question on Facebook, you can put that up as well. Mike is asking me, he says, I'm paying off my mortgage with a home equity line of credit. Is that a good idea? There is a book saying about paying off your mortgage 7 years, or is it a scam? Yeah. So, You're not, no, I wouldn't pay it off with a line of credit. I don't like doing that because your line of credit doesn't require you to pay any principal back. And oftentimes we get sucked into that notion of not paying any principal and we just keep paying interest on it. And that's a bad thing. So you might take, I don't know the numbers, but you might have 10 years left on your mortgage. You might be paying for that on the rest for the rest of your life. And the interest rate on the line of credit is going to go up on a regular basis. As when we get into a rising interest rate environment, we're not now, and that's a good thing, but they have the right to raise the interest rate on that line of credit loan. So I would not do that. Forget the book. I wouldn't do that. I would keep the mortgage you have and try to pay a little bit more. Now, if you got to refinance, that's fine, but I wouldn't do it under a line of credit. Man, that's just giving a bank, making the bank a happy camper. Because now they just took you out of a fixed loan where they were locked in to giving you a certain interest rate and made it so that it's flexible. So the only person that benefits is the bank. So I would not do that, Mike. Jonathan's asking me about, you commented on a particular stock splitting. Yeah, so I don't know what your question is. So... I can't help you. I did comment on that. It isn't splitting. I know I said that, but I corrected myself right after I said it. It's not splitting. So the stock is splitting off some other companies, three to be exact. It's got nothing to do with the company in and of itself. The company is not. It's not like going through a company split. You're going to get some shares of one company that's already was publicly traded before the merger. So you're getting some of that company and another company. So you're going to see that show up in your account if you own MA30. If you own MA30, you're going to see that you now own MA30 plus you have shares in another company. So it's not a split, but I don't really know what your question was about that. All right, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533. Somebody's asking, Randy's asking me on Facebook about a stock. He has two stocks that aren't stocks, but he has two stocks that are not biblically responsible. Everything else is biblically responsible that he owns. I would sell both of them. I don't know that you need to be in either one of those. I probably would get out and make your portfolio biblically responsible. The one that you gave me, the second one on your list there, I would sell that and put it into maybe like E45, because E45 is the company that owns that. E45 is the stock on my list that is biblically responsible, that is doing a very similar thing. So they own that. They're the ones that put that ETF together. So I would probably go with them on that E45. That way it keeps you biblically responsible, keeps you in the same kind of category or sector. The other one I would just sell out and make a decision where to go on that, Randy. Let me go to Joanne. Joanne's calling us from Texas. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was calling because I recently closed a small home-based business, uh-huh. And I'm getting ready to work on another company that I've been planning on. However, the first small business, I still have some money left in that business account. Would it be smart to invest that into some kind of a CD, or what would be the best way to handle that money?
Yeah, I would probably put it in a CD because you might need it for working capital in the new company you're starting. And I would probably just set that in a CD for now. And I think that would be a good thing to do.
Okay. Now, do you know if they if the IRS still taxes that kind of money, or is that just you just roll it all into that, or how does that work?
No, it's always going to be taxed. It's going to be a distribution to you. It's going to be counted to you as income. The only thing you can do is put it into an IRA account. Like if you have a SEP account, do you have a SEP or IRA?
I do not.
Okay. So the only thing you could do is you would have to now, I don't know if you've already closed that, but officially closed it. But if you've still have that open, that other company, you could, start an IRA account and then you could put it into that IRA account. A traditional, would have to be a traditional, but you could do something like that. But other than that, you ought to check with your tax people. But other than that, it's going to be taxable to you.
Oh, I see that. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure I handled that.
Yeah.
The wisest way I possibly could.
Yeah. And there may be your tax accountant might tell you, hey, you can use it to maybe start this other company, and that might be acceptable. I don't know about that, to be honest with you, Joanne, whether you can do that or not. But that may be a possibility.
Yeah, I don't know either. Okay, yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you
sure.
very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. Let me go to Doc. Doc's calling us from Texas. Hey, Doc.
Good morning, top of the morning.
Thank you.
Two questions. I know when a husband dies and the widow can go to Social Security and start taking his Social Security funds if it's less than hers.
Yes.
I think it's... Now, what about if both couples are still alive and the husband makes $2,000 a month and the wife makes $800 a month? Can she go down and ask to discontinue hers and take half of his, which would be $1,000? Well, both of them are still alive and still living together.
Yeah. How old is she?
I'm over. She's 74. Yeah. He's 82.
Yeah, you can do that. You should be able to do it. Now, they changed that whole rule. Remember how somebody 62 or could take half their husband's Social Security? You may not remember that, but that was the rule up until last year, and they did away with it. But I think, and I would not stake my life on this, but I would at least make a phone call or go down to the Social Security office and ask them. But I think you can do that.
Okay. Second question. I talked to my financial nephew down in New Orleans who has a hedge fund. Mm-hmm. And we talked about investing in China ETFs.
Uh-huh.
Do you recommend any of that going on? You suggest maybe looking at some ETFs from China?
I would just say that I wouldn't recommend it, nor would I do it, but if you have a lot of confidence in your nephew and something they're doing, I mean, I think it's going to be very risky. It'd be very difficult for that to be biblically responsible because of the human rights violations, but it's not something I wouldn't do it. I think it's probably poses more risk than benefit. If it's money that you don't care if you lose or you're not going to stress if it goes down, then it might be an okay thing to do. But right now, we're still very unsure about that environment. And right now, one would have to believe, as I'm sure your nephew does, that this would be a good time to invest with their economy being about as bad as it's been for a very, very long time. I have a friend over there that's a CEO of a major company, American company over there. And he says from the people that he's talking to within his company, it's the worst economy they've ever seen in China. So that may be a good time. You know, that's a good thing.
stock. He did not recommend stock. He just said, if you're going to do anything, do an ETF. Don't do stocks.
Yeah. That was it. Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's, yeah, I mean, I would just go by your faith that you have in your nephew, and see if that's something that you want to do. Again, a little bit too risky. I'm not a, you know, I don't have anything against ETFs, per se, but, a China ETF. Too many people have China. There's too many China ETFs out there and nobody knows anything about China. And that makes me a little nervous. So, but I would be cautious.
I appreciate your opinion.
All right.
Have a blessed day.
All right. Thank you. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Donna. Donna's calling us from West Virginia. Hey, Donna.
Hi, Dan. I talked to you at the end of last year, and I still working, going to work 8 more years, and I have a 401k through my work, and you had advised me to open up a Roth IRA, and I did that through TD Ameritrade.
Uh-huh.
So right now the money's just sitting there because I looked at that asset allocation, but I didn't know if I should. How should I invest that is my question, just that $6,500 from last year.
So, I would invest it like the allocation model indicates. Are you asking how to do that, or
I know how diversified in, like, you know, 15% cash and the other. Is that what I'm supposed to do with that $6,500 in it, or?
I mean, what's your 401k? Is it in primarily mutual funds?
It's invested. They do that through my work, okay. But it's. And my age allocation, which I'm 62, and I'm going to work till I'm 70. So,
okay. So, yeah, I mean, I would probably look at, you know, doing some income things. I would look more at the income asset allocation model, which is the last model on the list there. And I would look at doing some things like that, and I think that might make more sense for you.
Okay.
And now you may not find everything you need on the list, you know, on the buy list right now, but that's okay. Just wait until it shows up. But I would consider doing something like that. I would probably wait until May 1st because that asset allocation model is going to change a little bit. So I would wait till first part of May. But I would look at that income portfolio before the other one.
Okay. All right. Well, I just want to ask you about that because I hadn't done anything and I didn't.
Yeah.
No, I've never done it, so it's very confusing when you've never done this
before. Yeah, it is. It is, and I think the income portfolio is just a little bit. So you're just looking at. So you see something on the list that says utilities. You're going then to the long buy list on the long buy list on the commentary section of the website when you click on that. And you would look for something in the utility section. It'll be highlighted in blue. If it's an income stock, it'll be highlighted in blue. So you would look at something there that's highlighted in blue in the utilities, and you would put a little on that utility, in utility. So it may take you a little time to get it filled out, but that would be a good place to start.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the only question I had. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Donna. I appreciate you. Thank you for your partnership.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
844-707-5533 as we come up on break. We'll get back to phones. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. If you've got a question on Facebook, if you want to put that up there, by the way, I hope you're watching. If you're not watching on Facebook, I know we have now thousands of people listening every day on our phone app, financialissues.org. If you go to your app store, you can download our app, financialissues.org. And we have tens of thousands of people that have that app that are listening to it on a regular basis. So that's a great way to stay connected to us as well. We'll be right back after this.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. You can queue your call up if you want, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Matt. Matt's calling us from Missouri. Hey, Matt.
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
Good.
Question. Over the years, I've had a couple of 401ks and a couple of different jobs, and for one reason or another, to keep things going strong and keep the house afloat and bills paid and all that, when I changed jobs, I cashed them in and did what I had to do to make things work.
Right.
And found myself in 2011 with a different company and small little trucking company, a couple of drivers is all. There's no insurance, no 401k, none of that. And I'm getting to be 58 this year, and I got about, I figure, 15 to 17 years left of driving, and I want to get out of it. And I'm putting away what I can every week in savings, and, you know, we got a small amount of money in checking, and my wife works too, but I'd still, in the back of my mind, I'm wanting to get back into some kind of a plan where I could be putting some money away where it's making me a little bit of money. So I wanted to start another 401k or something that would help me accumulate, and I know it's a little late in life to start now, but something so that when I retire, I got a few thousand here and there in the bank.
Sure.
So yeah. Where should I go with that?
Well, I would probably look at a Roth IRA account and start, you know, I would set it up. Matt, do you get paid like automatic deposit in your checking account? Okay.
No, I just get a check every week and I take it to my bank.
I would set it up. If you get paid every week, I would set it up so that every week automatically, you know, $25, $100, whatever it is you can do, is coming out automatically. Like it's almost like it's coming out of your pay and into this Roth IRA account. I keep building that up. Now, I don't know what kind of risk tolerance you have. If you don't have a lot of risk tolerance, in other words, you know, to get in the markets, then I would just, you know, do something at a bank or a credit union that is going to continue to pay you an okay interest, you know, maybe get 2% or something that right now until interest rates go up a little bit higher and constantly be putting money into that. And I think, you know, that might make the most sense for you if you don't have a lot of risk. Aside from that, if you have some risk, then I would look at going into an investment account somewhere where you're actually accumulating some money in some investments. And I think that might make more sense. If you're going to do that, you might want to open up a Roth IRA at Timothy account, and have them take that money out, and it's going to go in to you know, various different funds that you're set up, and I can help you set some of that up. But I, you know, before, you know, as once you get that initial deposit, and you're having some money coming out every pay, or once a month if you want, but, you know, then we can start thinking about which funds to go into. I think in the long run, over the next 17 years, that's going to be better for you. You just got to be able to live with the, you know, the ups and downs a little bit in the market.
Yeah, I understand that. I was just thinking of like a percentage of my gross every week, maybe 5% of my gross every week, and taking that amount and putting that into that fund.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be great. Now, you're limited to $7,000 a year. So if you're making, you know, more than, you know, I don't know, $35,000, is that what that is? I don't know that it might not be, you know, it might be might, you can only put in 7,000. Now, what you could do is you could open one for your wife too there. And so then you could do 14,000 and that would probably cover you. So that might be a better way to go, just so you can get a little bit more in. If you can't do it now, you might have some years where you will be doing it. So just think about that. That's just an IRS rule that if you're if you're over 50, you can put $7,000 into a IRA.
Okay. All righty. Well, I appreciate your input then. That's what I needed to know.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Matt. Glad you called.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks. And folks, remember, it's not too late. It's never too late. I mean, just keep getting, I mean, it's never too late to save. It's never too late to put some money aside. Especially, you know, like Matt's got 17 years. He thinks he's going to work another 17 years, I think he said. You have that much time. You know, it's not too late. And you should be, don't allow two things to be discouraging to you. One is, oh, I don't have enough time, so no sense of doing anything. Or I can only do a little bit of money, so there's no sense. I might as well not do anything. That's the stumbling block that everybody trips over that is, you know, getting started. It's always the way. It's one of those things that discourage people from doing anything. Don't let that happen, because that is not good. You don't need to let that happen. You'll be fine. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Russell. Russell's calling us from Florida. Hey, Russell.
Hey, Dan. I've talked to you before. I'm a partner. Hey, I have a friend. He passed away, and he left his wife a term life insurance. And she's still working, 62. She plans on working till full retire, four more years. And she has a 403B, the amount of which I'm not. She hasn't gotten back to me, but she puts in about $6,000 a year into that. Now, can she open up? How much is the maximum amount? Can you do both?
You can do both. You can do both. And in her case, she can do both because she's not maxing out her 403B. So she still has room. And yes, she could open a Roth IRA account.
Okay. So what would be the max?
I don't. She'd
I
have
mean,
to.
How would you know your?
She'd
limit?
Have to ask human resources.
Okay.
So they'll tell her, because it depends on the wages and stuff, how much she earns.
Okay, so if she's doing the max there, does that mean she can still do the max, the $7,000 in the?
No, she can't.
Oh,
so but she's not. Listen, she's not doing anywhere near the max if she's putting $6,000 a year in.
Okay. So the 403B is above and beyond the $7,000, right?
Yes.
I mean, you would put in an IRA.
Yes, that's
okay.
Right. Okay. Yep.
Okay, so we got to find out how much she's actually putting in, and she can put the rest in a Roth, but correct. She's still working.
Correct.
And she has this life insurance policy.
Yep.
And I got, you know, I'm sure there's some great insurance people out there, but, you know, when they won't give you the check, they got to give it to you in person because it's a company policy.
Yeah.
You know the sales pitch is coming in.
It's coming.
You know, these are grieving people, and they're coming to your house.
She can't let it happen. I would call.
I would call
the number on the policy and say, this may be an internal policy. It's not the law. Send me the check. And that's what she should do. And I always tell people, don't do anything for 12 months, except leave it in the insurance company. I would leave the money there. I would get it over and put it in a CD if nothing else, but I wouldn't let it sit there, but I wouldn't make any major decisions. They're only coming over because it's going to sound really good to her. They're just going to sell her another annuity.
Yeah, we already. As soon as, you know, my wife went up there to be with her, and that was the first thing. She says, look, don't do anything for a year. And she got the, you know, we drilled it into her, don't sign anything. And she got the check and put it in her savings account.
Good.
So
good.
You know, but Jordan,
anything.
He was there with a sales pitch.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Yeah.
Just like you said, I said, man, this is the thing Dan harps on. It's all for an annuity. You know, you can be, and I can, guarantee. I said, he can't guarantee you nothing.
Right,
don't do it. Because it'll lock it down, right? For
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll be locked up for 8 to 10 years. Maybe. I've seen 12, so, yeah.
Okay, we'll figure out how much he can open that for. Okay,
good job. Good job, Russell. Good job. I'm glad you did that. Thank you. All right.
I'm doing my little part. Yeah.
Great, thanks. 844-707-5533. We got another hour left, folks. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do that. I love it. Russell's been listening for a long time, man, and he's got it. And, folks, you know, anybody you know that's grieving like that, don't do a thing. Make sure they know. I mean, they're not going to make a good decision. Just let it sit. A year is not going to change anything. And there's, you know, just there's too many other things to think about when you're going through that grieving process. So I'm glad he gave her that advice, and it was good advice. So good stuff. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Folks, if you haven't contemplated, or maybe you are, I hope you'll consider being a partner with the ministry. We sure would appreciate it. It helps keep this ministry going, helps us serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we're here for. We hope that you will support the ministry by becoming a partner, and I know it's going to be good for you if you do so. Folks, as we consider our income for life, think about that charitable gift annuity. It's on my asset allocation model, and you shouldn't blow it off. You all should be thinking about that for your income. Have a wonderful day. More financial issues right after this.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.